right, welcome in. Hour number three of this Mobile Mornings Monday style. Dalton Orwig and now Mark Holliday.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you?
Mark. Good. I'm doing great.
Good.
Hope you had a great weekend. Hope everyone out there had a great weekend. Nice and, for the most part, dry.
Yeah.
And after last weekend, man, I had to get out and do some yard work. I think my the grass in my yard grew about 10 inches in about 10 days.
It'll do that.
It was good to get out there and take care of that. But also a lot going on nationally over the weekend as the protests surrounding the George Floyd death in Minneapolis continued. And then with a man named Rashard Brooks killed in Atlanta on Friday night, kind of more protests broke out over the weekend. I know there was a protest in Mobile yesterday, and Chief Lawrence Batiste was once again out there. It was a peaceful protest, right, from all that I've read. So things here in Mobile have not gotten deadly. You know, about a week and a half ago, I think a week ago, last Thursday, things got a little testy here on the service road next to Airport Boulevard, mm-hmm, and going down to the Lowe's and a couple other areas over there where, you know, window broken out. But for the most part, things in Mobile here have been pretty civil. And I think you can thank the police chief for that, along with our police officers. And then, of course, the removal of the Admiral Sims statue from downtown, right, Mobile. And the big news this weekend, Mayor Sandy Stimson announcing that the Admiral Sims statue will be moved to the History Museum of Mobile. They've got it there right now. The museum staff planning to protect, preserve, and display that statue in the museum, so no longer where it used to stand there in downtown Mobile. And that's our online opinion poll question right now. The 1-800-GOT-JUNK opinion poll question: is the History Museum of Mobile the right place to put the Admiral Sims statue? Right now, 100% saying yes, although voting is early here in this poll.
So. Right. Well, as opposed to not displaying it at all, mm-hmm, that would be an accurate place because it is history, obviously. So, if you're going to move it, that's where it should be moved to. But I think where the city of Mobile, Mayor Stimson, kind of messed up was removing it from its place without an announcement of where it should go to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they were in fear of it being toppled, there should have been protection at that point. What was it, a couple of weekends ago?
Right.
Should have been protection for it at that point, you know, if they were still looking for a place to move it to. I think this is a way to save face as much as anything with the citizens of Mobile who want the statue displayed somewhere.
Well, it was removed overnight, and we had Mobile City Councilman John Williams call into the morning show the next day, said that the council was not notified or asked, right, their opinion on that. And so that was one thing that Sean brought up. Maybe it should have been put to vote at the city council before the removal. But I will say that having removed that statue, and there's no telling how, whether things would have gotten violent or not, but there was that, I don't know if you want to call it a meme or a flyer that went around online, and they said they would be pulling down that statue. I think it was the Ralph Sims statue a week ago Sunday. They did end up protesting a little bit that Saturday, so we're talking 8 or 9 days ago at this point, but nothing has turned violent. But protests still carrying on, sure, here and across the nation, and a lot of municipalities having to answer that question that Mayor Stimson answered for us yesterday. What do they do with these statues that they're pulling down? Are they going to put other statues in their place, and where will those statues go? Give us a call, 251-343-0106, or text at that number if you have any opinion on where you think the Sims statue and other Confederate statues, if they're moved, will be put. And we do have a caller right now, Ben in Fairhope, and it says here, Ben, a march in Fairhope. Tell us, what's going on?
First of all, I might say on this Minneapolis situation, that was bad policing gone horribly awry, and no one deserves to be killed for a purported $20 forged check. But he did put himself in that position by running afoul of the law.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, early afternoon, a march passed in front of my house in Fairhope, probably 100 people plus, black and white. And it was orderly for the most part. However, there was an exception. There was a group of teenage black males that were in front of the parade that were very disrespectful. They taunted and verbally abused people who didn't wave back in affirmation. The marchers in the back could not have seen it. Those who saw it and heard it and said it didn't happen are not telling the truth to say that. Now, they did, during the parade, they did in formation, yell, hands up, don't shoot. It makes me wonder if the marchers really know what's going on. And they're probably, based on that, I wonder if they're pushing a false narrative. I say that all lives matter. More policemen are killed by black males than black males killed by white policemen. More black males are killed every week in Mobile and Chicago. You know, nobody's marching about that. And who's marching in behalf of Zoa White or Kaiser Marie? And also, Laura Worsham, I'd known her since she was a little girl. She didn't die of a gunshot wound, but her paralysis led to her death. And my question is, who's marching in their behalf?
Yeah, and Ben, the numbers from Chicago, I mean, they've been staggering week in and week out for years and years and years now. And even, you know, during all these protests, the numbers from Chicago and some other cities continue to pour in with just, you know, violence, not having anything to do with the protest. I want to ask you, you said you saw this march in Fairhope, and there were a few unruly protesters. Did you see any property crimes or anything like that, or was it all verbal?
No, verbal? Not at all. It was verbal. And it wasn't, it was isolated. It was black teenage males at in the front of the parade. And if you didn't wave an affirmation to them, they verbally abused you and shouted back at you. And that's the only thing I noticed. For the most part, it was very orderly. Probably maybe 100 people plus, black and white. And, they came down Fairhope Avenue. I don't know if it terminated at the Fairhope Pier. I couldn't tell where they went. And they just marched one way. It was early afternoon in Fairhope yesterday.
Right. Well, we appreciate the update, Ben. Thanks for giving us a call. 251-343-0106. You can call or text us at that number. And, Mark, I have a feeling, well, I do know that the big story this week will be that killing in Atlanta on Friday night. The guy's name that was killed, he was in the drive-thru at a Wendy's, Rashard Brooks. Now, there is video that shows pretty much all of the struggle. There are a few parts missing here or there. And these police officers, unlike a couple different cases we've seen, the police officers did have their body cams on to capture this footage. And, you know, there's a video out there. I have not seen the entire video, but this will be big over this week because, of course, with the protesting of the killing of George Floyd and then this happening while all these protests are happening. So kind of what happened, Rashard Brooks was apparently in this drive-thru at a Wendy's drive-thru in Atlanta, and somebody called and said that you have a guy asleep at the wheel sitting in the drive-thru.
Right.
And that's when you see police show up and the body camera footage starts then. They show one officer arriving to the scene, and he comes up to the vehicle that's, again, sitting there in the drive-thru line. This was about 10:40 local time there, so about 9:40 our time on Friday night. And you see in the video that this guy, Rashard Brooks, asleep at the wheel. So the officer knocks on the window, tries to wake him up, and then asks whether Brooks is tired, tells him to pull over into a parking spot. Finally, after a couple different tries, they get Rashard Brooks. He moves the vehicle and then has to be woken up a second time. So very drunk by the way you watch this video, it looks like he was very drunk. So the second officer gets there, and they're calling for more police to come to the scene and do a DUI test. They ask Brooks, who are you visiting? He said, my mother's gravesite. They said, oh, I'm sorry to hear about that. And then a few minutes later, the second cop arrives on scene, and they start asking him, you know, how did you get here? What happened? This was right around 11 p.m., so about 20 minutes after they began trying to wake him from sleeping in the drive-thru line. The guy said, what should I do, sir? They do several DUI tests, ask him how he feels on a scale of 1 to 10. He said, I feel kind of good, sir. Then he says that he had been drinking. He was at his daughter's birthday party. He had been drinking. Police officer says, I think you've had too much to drink to be driving. Put your hands behind your back. That was right at around 11:23, so about 40 minutes into this altercation. Right. That's when one of the officers attempts to handcuff Brooks, this 27-year-old black man in Atlanta, and then you see that they struggled right after that. You can see Brooks and the two officers kind of getting into it. They've got dash cam footage from the officers' cruisers because both of the officers' cams fell off of their persons
during the struggle.
And you could see the footage from the dash cam showed one of the officers getting his taser ready as the other officer holds Brooks from behind. At some point, you see Brooks had all of a sudden gained access to one of the tasers. He got a hold of one of the tasers. Then you see him begin to run away from the officers. One of the officers says, "Hands off the blanking taser, hands off the taser." They continue to struggle. They say, "Stop fighting." And then he punches one of the officers in the face, starts to run. And you can see in this video from the Wendy's camera at this point that he is running away and does a kind of turn to the side where he's looking behind. And there's no audio on this video, but it looks like he's about to fire the taser at one officer that's in pursuit. At that point, one or both of the officers shoots Brooks, and he dies there in the Wendy's drive-thru parking lot. And that is the big story over the weekend as these protests continue. Will this cause more violence and more protests? We'll have to see. But there are some notable differences in the death of Rashard Brooks on Friday night and the death of George Floyd just about 3 weeks ago. Your take on, what's it going to look like this week? Are we in for more violent protests? Are there going to be more peaceful protests? We'll have to see. And this also comes on the heels of President Trump announcing he is bringing rallies back.
Yes.
They're going to be in Tulsa, Oklahoma this Saturday. And a lot of the news organizations say you can't hold rallies. Coronavirus is a thing. Oh, by the way, look at all these protesters in Washington, D.C. We'll talk more about that coming up. Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5 with Dalton Orwig and Mark Holliday. 8:22 on FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings. Dalton Orwig and Mark Holliday with you on this Monday morning. Sean Sullivan will be back tomorrow. I'm sure he'll give us an update on whatever's going on today. I know he's got
on assignment.
Big plans. He's on assignment. Today coming up at noon for Midday Mobile, Jeff Poor will be co-hosting. And then tomorrow morning, 8:30, I believe, we will have former Senator, former Attorney General Jeff Sessions on the show. And Sessions and current Alabama Senator Doug Jones kind of going after one another on Twitter this weekend regarding the renaming of military installations that are currently named after Confederate soldiers. So we'll talk with Jeff Sessions about that tomorrow, and we'll also probably get into that a little bit more later. Coming to the phones in just a second, 251-343-0106. We're talking about a couple of different stories. The killing of a 27-year-old black man in Atlanta on Friday night, Rashard Brooks, which I believe will cause the protest, which have been many protests have been peaceful over the last few weeks, but there have also been several violent riots.
Yes.
And even in, Seattle, you had what was then known as the Chaz Zone.
Chaz.
Now they're trying to change the name to the Chop Zone, but a precinct abandoned by police in Seattle. And they
evacuated. Let's be clear. It wasn't abandoned by the police. Mm-hmm. The mayor withdrew any support, and according to the chief of police, they had to leave. It wasn't like, okay, we give up, we're running now.
Right.
No.
And the police chief said it was not her decision.
Not her
to
decision.
Remove those officers.
Right.
So we'll get into that later, too. But the Rashard Brooks killing, and also you can vote online, fmtalk1065.com. Over the weekend, Mayor Stimson announced that the Admiral Raphael Sims statue, which was moved from downtown just about a week and a half ago, that it will now be held in the History Museum of Mobile. Is that, you believe, the right place to put the Admiral Sims statue? You can vote online, fmtalk1065.com. We got a few texts in here, though, regarding the death of Rashard Brooks on Friday night. Billy, the friendly Democrat, good to hear from you, Billy. It's been a while. He said, the do you feel test came back with a 1.8 regarding Rashard Brooks, who was reportedly drunk and passed out in this Wendy's drive-thru before police showed up to the scene. I'm not sure the do you feel test 1.8, if that was when they asked him how he felt between a 1 and a 10, or if that was the blood alcohol content, because if your blood alcohol content is 1.8, you're very drunk.
Yeah, it's amazing you're still conscious at 1.8.
I need to find that exact number, but if he was asked how you feel on 1 to 10 and he said 1.8, well, that's not exactly.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a BAL blood alcohol level or not, but 0.08.
That's the legal limit.
0.08 is the legal limit Which, if you're that or over, you're guilty of driving under the influence.
So Billy adds here, there may have been other substances that will be determined in the autopsy. Also, only one officer fired. He was the officer that was closest in pursuit and still had his taser. When the deceased fired his taser, the officer responded with 3 shots, 1 missed, and 2 hit. And the autopsy showed that those 2 shots were the cause of Brooke's death.
Right.
He said, it seems the issue will be, did the officer fear for his life when the defendant fired the taser? That will be a hard sell because they had already searched him and knew he had no other weapons, and a taser is not, quote, deadly force by the police manual. That's Billy adds, that's his assumption. Now, if you watch the video, and Brooks, as he's running away, he turns to fire the taser. The one officer in pursuit, There were two in pursuit, but one was much further behind the other officer.
Mm-hmm.
That officer that fired at the now deceased, he would probably say he didn't know what kind of condition the other officer was in after that tussle they just had, didn't know how close he was. But if he were to get hit by that taser that Brooks had taken off of one of the officers and then fired at that officer, I don't know, Billy, I guess we're coming at this from two different sides of the coin, because I would say that is enough cause. If that one officer were to get tasered and were, you know, incapacitated at that moment, then Brooks could come back and get his weapon and do whatever. But
right.
Regardless, the optics of this, not the best during this current crisis that we have nationally.
Right, right. And of course, you know, the standard is fear of your life, and that is not necessarily an objective situation. You know, people, you know, if it were a knife and it were coming towards you, well, you know, he's got a gun, he got a knife, you know. Fear for your life is very subjective situation. So, you know,
and the officer,
hard call.
The officer that killed Brooks has already been fired from the Atlanta Police Department, and also the other officer, I think, placed on leave. But with that, we'll go to the phones, 251-343-0106, where we talk with Chris in Loxley. Chris, good morning.
Yeah, hey, how you doing? Well, first, I'd like to say I'm a U.S. Army retired disabled veteran. I served in the military, and I had extensive training when it comes to combatives.
Thank you, sir.
I've also got a political science degree from the University of Alabama. I do agree that maybe the statues, but I think all statues or monuments should be placed in, like, somewhere like the USS Alabama Park. Have them all in one location to where if people want to review the history of, you know, our country, they can.
Mm-hmm.
I do disagree with the firing of the police officers. We hire the police officers to maintain accountability for criminals that provoke or do criminal activity to protect the public.
Right.
The people. See what I'm saying? We're trying to justify a criminal's intentions on what he's going to do or what he isn't going to do. Those officers at that point in time, when the suspect swung on them and tried to hit them, that is a threat in your life. And thing about it is we don't know the training that the individual had.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And the officers don't know the training that the individuals have. So they're put onto a situation, and then all of a sudden the guy comes awake and he goes active and he starts swinging on them and he's running. He's doing everything that we're taught as kids not to do. You know, we're taught to respect people,
right?
To say yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am, you know, to follow authority, not to disobey and not follow. So in my opinion, I mean, it's going to get to a point to where police officers are not going to want to do a job which is really low paid as it is.
Yeah, that's a great point, Chris. And we're putting good officers in impossible situations right now because of the actions of bad police officers, like the one killed George Floyd in Minneapolis.
Yeah,
you've got good officers that are put in impossible situations, and then how do you recruit good officers now? If you want to defund the police, they're already not getting paid that well, and then you're just going to fire them anytime something like this comes up. It's a tough, tough sell. Coming back, more Mobile Mornings on the way. All right, 837 on FM Talk 106.5, and going back to the phone lines, and let's talk with Joel in Mobile. Good morning, Joel.
Hey, good morning. I just think with the generations that are coming up now, and it has been going on, it all, there's just no respect for authority figure. Look at your schools. A teacher can't even discipline a child. You know, back when we were going to school, if you cut it, you messed up in school, and you got a paddling, you know, and then probably got one when you got home after they found out what you done.
Oh, yeah.
But there's just no... there's just, when they say put your hands behind your back, you need to be like, yes, sir. But it automatically triggers these young guys and girls to automatically resist and put a fight up. And I just, to save me, the life of me, I just don't understand that mentality. Why resist arrest? You're making the situation worse for your own self and putting yourself in a situation that could have been clearly avoided. But you also got the cops that are the law enforcement that their hands are tied behind their back at this point. I mean, you'd be a damn fool to be a law officer nowadays, or school teacher or anything like that in that profession. They're underpaid. They have no authority to almost do anything at this point nowadays. And I'm like the last caller. Are they? They're probably going to restrict doing this their job because of the fact they just don't want the confrontation. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the society's going to end up being. I hate it for our kids and our grandkids coming up. It's just going to be a sick world we live into, y'all.
Yeah.
Y'all have a great day. Love listening to you.
All right, thank you, Joel. And yeah, you know, that's something I've been thinking about a lot lately. I've got a 1-year-old daughter,
right,
who today
right.
graduated to the toddler class in her daycare.
Yay, aren't you lucky?
No longer an infant, not yet a woman. She's a toddler. So, but I've been putting, you know, I've been thinking about that a lot too. With, I mean, there's been so much going on nationally. Starting with the coronavirus and mm-hmm. then the lockdowns and yeah. then these protests across the nation. And watching that video with Rashard Brooks, and it's a big news story today. I'm sure it'll continue to be a big news story over the next few days at a minimum. And, you know, the question that'll come up is, should the officers there in that Wendy's parking lot in Atlanta, Georgia, have used deadly force? And we've got a couple, you know, we've got several texts this morning, but I want to read two in particular. They're coming at it from two opposite sides.
Right.
And I'm not sure if both of these texters have seen the video, but they both have opinions. Jeffrey says, good morning. Are you serious? If you shoot a cop with a taser, then the cop can shoot you dead? You must be out of your mind. As part of their training, police officers experience being shot with a taser. They know through their training that it will not kill you. They had his driver's license, meaning Brooks. They had his driver's license and vehicle. They knew where to go find him at a later date.
And then Leo says, the guy shot in Atlanta was possibly going to carjack someone to escape the scene. Good shoot.
Yeah, so two different opinions there. I will say, Jeffrey, you know, the tasing of an officer might not have killed him, but
right.
it would be what happens after that officer is tased.
It would incapacitate him, as it is supposed to do, and would that incapacitation allow Brooks to then go for more serious bodily harm mm-hmm. against the officer? Who knows? I mean, you don't know in those situations, and therein lies the problem.
Right. That's once you start playing the what-if game, and we're looking at this with hindsight of this event happening on Friday night, you think of the two officers that were involved in the struggle then and there, not enough time to think of the different what-if scenarios.
Exactly.
And clearly they thought their best mode of action, even in these times where I'm sure that thought had to have crossed their mind, and probably right. crosses their mind at each traffic stop
sure.
and each call that they get pulled onto, is, does this constitute using deadly force? And that officer decided it did. And he's been fired since then. The other officer, I believe, placed on leave. Yeah. Tim texted, he said, you can't do whatever you want to do when you want to do it if it's something wrong without consequences. And then he says, what you're talking about is a dude that's fighting with a police officer. Now you know that society's not going to be able to exist in the way that we know it. If you let people go around fighting police officers, they don't have any respect for anybody. And then during those protests after the killing of Brooks, that Wendy's actually set on fire.
Right. And, right. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to wrap my head around, you know, at what point did this mob think that Wendy's was responsible and needed to be destroyed? I mean, I can't wrap my mind around some of this activity and these actions. You know, we go back to, I think it was Joel on the phone, you know, whenever you have an encounter with the police, the best thing you can do is comply. If they're doing something wrong, that can be handled at a later date. But if you resist and you fight, the least case scenario is you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
The worst case scenario is you're going to get dead, which is what happened in this particular case. And this has taken the George Floyd completely out of it, although he did do some resisting along the way. But in this case in Atlanta, you know, comply. You know, if it's a DUI, it's a DUI. It's expensive. It's timely. You know, you shouldn't have been doing it. You're going to pay the price. But in this case...
Yeah, and comparing the two cases, the Floyd case and the case from Atlanta over the weekend, other than the officer that killed the person, the officer being white and the person that ended up dying being black, you really can't compare the two.
No.
In any form or fashion. I mean, you had with the Minneapolis one, I mean, he was on his neck for 9 minutes.
Yeah.
And I think
unacceptable.
Almost universally, there are a lot of people that said that, you know, Chauvin, the officer that killed George Floyd, was in the right. There are some people that say that, but for the most part, I think most people condemned what Chauvin did once they saw that video. Now, what's taken place since then, there are a lot of different opinions regarding protests and riots, but I don't think you can look at these two the same. And Jeffrey says, you guys are playing the what-if game with this Brooks killing on Friday night, but what you're saying is, what if he killed a cop? You don't know that would have happened. The man was intoxicated. He was so intoxicated he passed out in the drive-thru at Wendy's. He was not in his right mind.
And I think that's exactly the point, is we don't know. And that officer didn't know. You know, if he says he was in fear of his life, you know, you kind of got to take him at his word and go from there. And then do an investigation before you fire him, I think.
Right.
But that's another topic.
Yeah, well, we'll keep taking calls and text on this topic, 251-343-0106. Also want to talk about the moving of the Admiral Sims statue to the History Museum of Mobile. You can vote right now whether you think that was a good idea, fmtalk1065.com. And President Trump, fresh off his 74th birthday, planning to rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma this weekend. And surprise, surprise, CBS News says that's dangerous. He should not hold those rallies. Coming back, right. More Mobile Mornings on FM Talk on the way. All right, 10 minutes till 9 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Dalton Orwig and Mark Holliday with you. Mike Gallagher Show coming up next. And then coming up at noon, Jeff Poor co-hosting or guest hosting Midday Mobile. Sean Sullivan will be back tomorrow morning. I want to remind you, votenappies.com is the Lanyap Nappy Awards voting in full throws right now. I'm not sure if I used that correctly. But
I think you did, as a matter of fact.
You can vote, and we do appreciate your votes. We actually, before even voting for the main event began, we appreciate you nominating so many of our shows for the Lanyap Nappy Awards this year. Mobile Mornings up for awards. The station itself up for Best FM Station.
Yep.
Midday
yep.
Mobile is up for an award. Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. What's Working with Cam Marston. And then a couple sports shows, the Paul Feinbaum Show for the Best Sports Show, and also Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5 with myself and Corey LeBounty. And we will be live again tonight at 6. We're going to talk with Brandon Marcello, an Auburn writer for 247sports.com. So lots of questions to ask him as Auburn prepares for the 2020 season, and then basketball, and whether they should look to whether Auburn basketball will get a suspension from the NCAA from postseason play. We'll cover all that and more coming up tonight on Sports Night. But we appreciate your votes. You can vote now through June 28th, votenappies.com.
Yeah, don't vote for that midday Mobile show.
Yeah, no, Midday Mobile, not our best offering, I would say.
Yeah, no. Now,
ask me at noon, I'll tell you it's the best show we have.
Right, but right now, vote Mobile Mornings
yes.
with Sean and Dalton. I'm just kind of filling a chair right now, so don't take this as an example.
I love it. So we've been talking about a couple different things this morning, and one thing, the killing on Friday night, Rashard Brooks, 27-year-old black man, shot dead by police, and we've been we kind of went over that situation, everything that was shown with the officers' cams and then the dashboard cameras once they're body cams fell off during the tussle with Brooks. And I want to go to the phone lines here. Gary in Gulf Shores. Now, Gary, this says Gulf Shores fishing. Does that mean are you out on the boat right now? Are you on the pier?
I am. Me and my chocolate lab are out here having a great morning. It's beautiful.
Oh, man, I'm jealous. It is nice out there. So what's your take on this Atlanta shooting from Friday night?
Let me, first of all, did the video show the gentleman that got killed taking one of the tasers away from one of the officers and shooting at those officers with that taser?
Yeah, now, I've seen most of the video. I can't remember if in the video it showed how he came away with one of the officers' tasers, but certainly as he was running from the two officers and one in hot foot pursuit, you see Brooks turn and point the taser at that officer before the fatal shots were fired.
Well, the reason why I say the tasers are not designed to kill people, but they do from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are a weapon. So if a suspect, you know, commandeers a weapon from the police and then starts direct shooting that weapon at the police, I don't understand why there's a question whether or not they had the right to return fire, so to speak, because I mean, if you take that right away from police, then it's already hard to recruit police, and that's going to make it a lot harder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think it's over the last few weeks, it's become much more difficult for any police department across the entire country to get new recruits that are excited and fired up about being police. You know, this officer that ended up firing the fatal shots on Friday night, he was let go pretty much immediately.
Immediately, yeah.
And his actions condemned by the mayor of Atlanta over the weekend. So, and I'm right there with you, Gary. If it's a different situation than the George Floyd thing in Minneapolis, you know, police officers, if they're in a fight, if they're in a struggle with someone they're trying to apprehend, the use of deadly force, I mean, it could mean, even if someone's unarmed, if they are fighting with the police and that police officer is losing the fight, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, but the police officer has his weapon on his person, they would say, well, this suspect who is fighting back could gain the upper hand and get that weapon.
Exactly, and I think that's what goes through a lot of officers' minds when they do get into a confrontation and a struggle like that, is what happens if this guy is able to grab my weapon? I'm going to be dead. I mean, that's fear of your life at that point. And so then it becomes a struggle as to who can gain the upper hand by any means necessary.
Mm-hmm.
It's a call that I hope I never am in a position that I have to make.
And then you have to wonder, the prosecution of this officer, will that be handled fairly? And there's probably a lot of protesters out there who don't want it to be handled fairly. But that'll be decided by the courts. We appreciate the call, Gary, and I hope you're catching them good out there in Gulf Shores fishing on this beautiful day. So a couple more things I want to get to, and I mentioned on our website, fmtalk1065.com. Yesterday, Mayor Stimson here in Mobile announced that they have moved the Admiral Raphael Sims statue, which, again, remember, it was removed overnight about a week and a half ago, and the mayor yesterday saying that it will now be held in the History Museum of Mobile. They're going to protect, preserve, and display the Admiral Sims statue there in the museum. And that's our current poll question. Is the History Museum of Mobile the right place to put the Admiral Sims statue? Right now, 2/3 of respondents saying yes. They're glad that the statue is getting a new home in the History Museum of Mobile. But the question, you know, they took the statue off downtown Mobile. Mm-hmm, the pedestal still stands there. So a couple different things. What will come of the pedestal? Are they going to completely remove that? Are they going to replace that with another statue, one that more people can agree deserves to be standing. And will Mobile be fined? $25,000 is the fine that is supposed to be levied on a city for removing a statue. I think they say it's statues older than, what, 50 years old?
I'm not sure what like the exact legislation says.
The rule was based on the removal of Confederate statues, and they fined Birmingham $25,000. Yep. It's been less clear how and when that fine, or if that fine, will be levied here in Mobile, and whether moving it to another area will be
eliminates that fine.
Yeah, whether it will eliminate that fine. Now, Sean Sullivan talked with Attorney General Steve Marshall last week and asked him a bunch of questions, and it seems that the AG's hands are tied and that he's probably going to have to levy that fine. I know we've had people ask on the text line, will the taxpayers end up having to pay for that? Having no actual knowledge, I would say more than likely yes, because it seems like the taxpayers
unless
have to pay for everything.
Unless they assign the fine personally to the person in charge, in this case, Mayor Stimson, obviously the taxpayers of Mobile are going to have to pay that fine if one is levied. I mean, that's, you know.
So regarding the question,
city doesn't generate revenue. It all is taxed.
So regarding what will we do in all these cities where statues are currently being removed? Will they put new statues up instead of those old statues? Have you seen what they're talking about doing in Tennessee? So they've got the statue of Confederate soldier Nathaniel Bedford Forrest, and that's been at the Tennessee Capitol in Nashville for 40 years now. The talk, according to the Tennessean, the local paper there, they're planning on possibly replacing that statue of Nathaniel Bedford Forrest with maybe the most famous Tennessean, Dolly Parton. They're thinking of putting Dolly Parton up instead of Nathaniel Bedford Forrest.
Will she be on a horse?
I don't know. I don't know whether she'll be on a horse or not, but that was one suggestion for Nashville. So, you know, is every city going to start looking at who to replace their statues with?
In Kentucky, Beshear, the governor, removed the statue of Jefferson Davis from the State House in Frankfort. And you may wonder why Jefferson Davis in Kentucky never seceded from the Union officially. He was born in Kentucky, so there you go. Removed from the State House now.
Lots of questions to be answered. That does it for Mobile Mornings on a Monday. Coming up, the Mike Gallagher Show. Jeff Poor in for Sean Sullivan at noon. And then Sean back with me tomorrow morning on Mobile Mornings. Have a good one.